Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Gate of the Feral Gods is the fourth novel in Matt Dinneman's Dungeon Crawler Carl series, a lit RPG science fantasy saga built around survival, spectacle, and game mechanics taken to absurd extremes. The story continues the ordeal of Coast Guard veteran Carl and Princess Donut, his ex-girlfriend's show cat, inside an alien-run dungeon that functions as both lethal competition and galaxy-wide entertainment. This installment places the surviving crawlers on the fifth floor, where a seemingly simple objective turns into a compressed strategic challenge: capture four castles within a single bubble before time runs out. The novel's purpose is not only to advance Carl and Donut through another level, but also to broaden the series' mythology, deepen its political backdrop, and test whether cooperation can survive under manipulative rules. It blends violent action, comic banter, tactical problem-solving, and increasingly dense world-building, making it a central bridge between the series' early survival premise and its larger interstellar conflict. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the fifth floor turns dungeon survival into a constrained strategic campaign. The central design of the Gate of the Feral Gods is its fifth floor scenario, one enclosed bubble, four distinct castles, and a fixed deadline for unlocking the stairwell. This structure gives the novel a clearer campaign shape than a loose sequence of encounters. Each castle represents a different tactical environment, including a floating gnome fortress, a sand castle, a derelict submarine, and a haunted crypt surrounded by traps. The effect is to make progress measurable while still keeping the rules unstable. Carl and his group cannot simply fight forward. They must choose priorities, allocate limited resources, interpret objectives, and anticipate penalties for failure. This is important because lit RPG often depends on visible systems, but Dinneman uses the systems to create pressure rather than comfort. The reader can understand the goal, yet the dungeon keeps revising the cost of pursuing it. The floor, therefore, works as a miniature war game inside a horror comedy setting, where maps, timing, alliances, and unexpected rule interactions matter as much as individual courage. Secondly, Carl and Princess Donut's partnership anchors the escalating chaos. The series depends heavily on the contrast between Carl's practical survival instincts and Princess Donut's theatrical, status-conscious personality. And this book continues to use that contrast as both comic engine and emotional center. Their bond matters because the dungeon constantly tries to isolate, exploit, or distract its contestants. Carl's experience as a Coast Guard veteran gives him a problem-solving orientation, while Donut's charisma, vanity, and unpredictable reactions influence social encounters and morale. The fifth floor increases the importance of teamwork by forcing them to rely on other crawlers, including weaker or less prepared survivors trapped in the same bubble. This complicates the usual hero party model. Helping others can be strategically necessary, morally urgent, and dangerously inefficient at the same time. The book also continues the development of allies, such as Katya and Mordecai, making the group feel less like a temporary raid party and more like a fragile community. Its character work is strongest when comedy and trust are inseparable from tactical decision-making. Thirdly, game mechanics function as satire, threat, and narrative rhythm. The Gate of the Feral Gods uses lit RPG conventions such as quests, achievements, penalties, character abilities, and system announcements, but it does not treat them as neutral rules. The dungeon interface is hostile, mocking, and performative, reminding readers that the game exists to entertain outside viewers as much as to test the crawlers. Failed objectives and sudden achievement notices are funny because they are phrased with absurd cruelty, yet they also signal genuine danger. This dual function is one of the book's defining strengths. Mechanics provide narrative rhythm by interrupting action with new information, but they also expose the sadistic logic of the show. Rules become a form of institutional violence. A quest is not merely a task, it is a trap, a ratings device, and a way to force behavior under pressure. The density of mechanics can be demanding, especially for readers less invested in system detail, but that density reflects the character's own burden. Survival requires not only bravery but literacy in a rigged and constantly expanding rule set. Fourthly, the novel expands the dungeon beyond monsters into gods, sponsors, and politics. Although the immediate plot is about conquering the fifth floor, the book is also important because it widens the scale of the Dungeon Crawler Carl universe. The dungeon is increasingly revealed as part of a larger network of alien corporations, sponsors, gods, audience expectations, and political interests. The Borant Company and the broader syndicate context make the contest feel less like a random apocalypse and more like a commercialized system with historical momentum and competing agendas. The Pantheon material, including the Feral Gods concept and related divine conflicts, adds another layer of instability. Gods in this series are not distant symbols. They are tied to mechanics, factions, and future consequences. This expansion helps explain why apparently local floor events matter beyond immediate survival. It also changes how readers interpret victories. Capturing a castle or solving a dungeon problem may influence larger power structures the crawlers barely understand. The book therefore acts as a transition from floor-based adventure toward a more complex science fantasy conspiracy. Lastly, its strengths and limits come from being a middle volume with expanding complexity as a fourth installment. The Gate of the Feral Gods must perform several tasks at once: deliver a satisfying floor challenge, preserve the comic brutality that defines the series, and prepare larger arcs for later books. This middle volume role explains both its appeal and its occasional difficulty. The enclosed bubble gives the plot a clear frame, which many readers find easier to follow than more sprawling dungeon designs. At the same time, the book introduces enough new systems, lore, side relationships, and factional hints that some sections can feel crowded. The pacing is shaped by accumulation. Every victory adds information, every ally adds risk, and every rule adds another possible complication. This is not a flaw so much as a trade-off inherent in the series' growth. Readers who enjoy tactical density and serialized myth-building will likely see the expansion as rewarding. Readers who prefer lean adventure may find portions slower. The novel stands out because it keeps the immediate survival game intelligible while steadily increasing the weight of the unseen machinery behind it. In conclusion, The Gate of the Feral Gods is best suited to readers who already enjoy lit RPG, progression fantasy, dark comic science fiction, and serialized adventure built around rules that can be analyzed and exploited. It is especially rewarding for readers invested in Carl and Princess Donut, because their partnership remains the emotional and comic constant while the dungeon grows more elaborate. Newcomers can understand the basic floor objective, but the book works far better after the earlier volumes because many character relationships, system conventions, and political hints depend on accumulated context. Its practical appeal lies in watching characters plan under time pressure, negotiate unreliable alliances, and adapt when success conditions shift without warning. Its intellectual appeal comes from the way it turns game mechanics into a critique of entertainment, exploitation, and corporate spectacle. Compared with many lit RPG novels, it stands out for the strength of its comic voice, the specificity of its dungeon design, and the tension between absurd presentation and grim consequences. Rather than using statistics and quests only as genre decoration, Dinnaman makes them part of the world as cruelty and part of the character's survival toolkit. This volume is not the simplest entry in the series, but it is a key example of how Dungeon Crawler Carl combines tactical play, emotional loyalty, and expanding cosmic stakes. If you would like to support Matt Dinnaman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.